You're listening to WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Representative Joe Havman. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Juke. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We've got a lot to talk about today, but of course, if people have a question, they can call us here at 395-1450 and ask their questions as well. All right. Hey, we got a tax break coming.
Well, yeah, I think we do. I'm very happy that after a couple of years of working on it, the House and Senate have passed what's called sales tax on the difference. And what that means is instead of when you sell your car and you buy a new car, you will pay sales tax on the full price of that
car. That's right.
If you trade in your car at a dealer for a certain value, you're only going to pay on the difference between your old car and your new one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this doesn't go quite far enough yet, but it was a long time in getting just this negotiation.
Yeah.
So you'll pay a portion of it, and we're going to phase that tax out over a number of years. It's going to cost the state about $28 million, which was budgeted for. We're going to give that money back to the taxpayers. We got it from them in the first place. So we budgeted for that return to the taxpayers if we could get this legislation
mm-hmm.
done. And I'm very happy. I think it's not just good for the taxpayers. It's good for our car companies.
Yeah.
And, hey, we're an automobile state.
Yes, we are.
We've got the Detroit 3 right here. And if it's good for our auto companies, I think it's also good for our taxpayers.
Indeed.
So it's a benefit, direct benefit. If you're buying a car, you're going to feel this, that you're going to pay a little bit less in sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy that happened.
Yes, that's great. That is great. All right. What else we got on our agenda there, Joe?
Well, something that I've been working on, and I finally have it through committee, it goes to the House floor next, is what I call my firefighter bill. This started at the request of firefighters out of Allendale Township with full support from Roger Victory and Amanda Price. What we're finding is the city of Grand Rapids, using full-time firefighters, has put a restriction on to say that if you work for the city of Grand Rapids as a firefighter, you can't work in a fire department somewhere else.
I see.
Now, there is, with the schedule, there's a lot of time away from work for these guys, and they volunteer or work part-paid for smaller townships.
Can I interrupt your
sure.
call? Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah, I had one question here. You know, we just passed that Medicaid expansion for Michigan.
Yes, sir.
And I just heard on the radio that most of the people that are signing up for Obamacare are going on Medicaid. I just wonder, down the road, when those subsidies are gone for Michigan, who's going to be paying for all these people that are on Medicaid? You know, hang up and listen.
Thank you. Well, if the subsidies go away, and I, you know, quite honestly, I don't believe that Obamacare is sustainable. I think it will somehow have to be changed or disappear in some way, and we maybe have to wait out President Obama before that happens, but I don't believe long-term it's a sustainable plan. What we did in the legislature when we accepted the Medicaid expansion is we put in reforms to the Medicaid program. Now, we've had Medicaid and we've had managed care through Medicaid that has saved the state billions of dollars over the years. It really goes back to the Engler administration of starting managed care to make sure that we're spending money wisely. We included that plus more when we did the Healthy Michigan or Medicaid expansion. So if for any reason the Medicaid money goes away, Obamacare fails, any combination of that, we are keeping the reforms that we put in. And it includes, and that's one reason we call it Healthy Michigan, is mm-hmm. we're trying to incentivize, if you're going to receive these benefits, we're going to incentivize that you bring about healthy behaviors. We're looking at smoking cessation and, you know, diabetes prevention and weight loss and things like that, that, you know, it's the carrot and to get these benefits as well. So the goal is a healthier lifestyle, a healthier taxpayer, a healthier citizen. And those will stay under the Healthy Michigan, even if the direct payment back from the federal government stops.
So hopefully there will be less people that will be using it.
That is the goal, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, every government program, our goal should be to get people off it.
Yes.
Is to You know, yeah. And I've said every nonprofit that helps people, their goal should be to work themselves out of a job. They don't want customers. We shouldn't be encouraging people to go on the dole. We should be encouraging people to be self-sufficient.
Right. All right. Our guest is Representative Joe Habman. And if you have a question for him, 395-1450. Joe, back to the firemen.
Okay, firefighters, as I was saying, the city of Grand Rapids, and I believe there's Sterling Heights, I believe, does this too, on the east side. They will not allow, as of January 1, somebody to work in another part-time fire department. Well, in my mind, and in many people agree, that this just discourages the kind of cooperation, collaboration between governmental units that we're trying to encourage. Mm-hmm. So my bill says that you can't do that anymore, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Well, good morning, Duke. Thank you for taking my call. It would appear to me that Mr. Hoffman is a politician. He was just talking about not wanting to get more people on the dole. His goal is to get people off the dole, according to what he just said. And then he goes ahead and votes for Medicaid expansion in Michigan. I just don't get it. It's a pretty sorry state of affairs when people try to expand a welfare program instead of promoting self-ability, self-confidence, providing job programs, things of that nature. I've just had it so much with politicians. I'm just really sick of it. I don't know how much longer Hoffman and Amanda Price are going to be in office, but my goodness gracious, let's get away from these socialist programs and start having some free enterprise programs and cut the political crap out. Quit lying to us, Joe Hoffman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You must have a response to that.
I don't know. We were faced with a tough decision here. Or philosophically, the caller's absolutely right. I don't want government programs. I don't want to make people dependent on government. But we're faced here with Obamacare that is the law of the land. If I were in Congress, I would be voting against it as well. I didn't have that vote. I wasn't able to make that decision. The decision I was able to make is to say, if we're going to send billions of dollars of Michigan taxpayer money to Washington, D.C., do we want anything back for that? Should we get some of our own money back? And at the same time, should we be insuring 400,000 people that don't have benefits? Now, these are the waiters and waitresses in our restaurants. These are the retail workers in our stores that typically are part-time employees that are uninsured. And under Obamacare, you're seeing people that are companies that are cutting back to 29 hours because they want to avoid they'd rather pay the penalty. They want to avoid insuring people at exorbitant cost, and they're saying, let the government do it. This is what the federal government has set up. I don't like it, but I have to live by it. Now, do you want to send all your tax dollars to Washington and get nothing in return? I don't think that's a solution either. And I didn't want to stand before the taxpayers and say, I had an opportunity to use your money to insure 400,000 people, but I chose not to. So that's my response. I respect where the caller's coming from. I didn't like this vote. It was the hardest vote I took in the legislature in 4.5 years. But I was between a rock and a hard place, and everybody that voted yes did not like the vote they had to take. Mm-hmm. But we didn't feel we had a choice.
Okay. All right. We're here with Representative Joe Habman. You have a question? Call us 395-1450. About the firemen, from now on, the firemen, if there's, say, Holland firemen, they will not be able to part-time in other fire departments.
Fortunately, we don't have that policy in the city of Holland. But the city of Grand Rapids is going that way. As I said, I think it discourages cooperation. It's going to raise the cost for these small townships that can do it with either volunteers or part-time firefighters. And it really forces them to add full-time employees.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want that. They don't need that. These guys can do both jobs on their days off. They can volunteer. If they want to put rules in place as to that they must respond to Grand Rapids first, that they can't use certain equipment and outside, that's appropriate. But we're trying to encourage local units of government to cooperate. This goes in the wrong direction.
Right.
My bill 4624 is through committee right now. It went through Local Government Affairs Committee. That's Amanda Price's committee. and it's on its way to the House floor. After that, I'll probably be working on this most of 2014 before it gets through the Senate, but we're going to keep plugging away at it.
All right. 395-1450, our number. Earl's Meats time is 942. Call Earl's Meats for special orders and those meat items you can't find anywhere else. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah, Joe, I got a response to that gentleman.
Yes,
thank you.
He's hollering at the wrong people. It's Washington is the problem.
Well, I agree with you, sir.
Yeah, and when Obama took office, he said he promised more jobs. And what he's actually doing, he's cutting jobs. You know, just like you said, people are going to part-time work to avoid this mess that he created. So he's on the wrong ticket there. This is coming out of Washington, not out of Michigan. And that's the people that he should be hollering at. Thanks, okay. Joe.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. What else you got there today about...
Here's a reoccurring topic that I started working on as a freshman. We're still... some of our other members are still working on it. The old bridge card fraud.
Yes.
I started on it when it was college kids that, coming from middle-class families and upper-class families that were using bridge cards. That was under the Granholm administration. We still have problems now with bridge cards being used at casinos, strip clubs, and liquor stores.
Hmm.
And what we've done is put a bill forward that would restrict ATM use in those places, that they don't take bridge cards, that we're trying to, as much as we can, encourage bridge card use for those that need it, not those that are trying to abuse it, and to be used for the proper things. We want to make sure that people get their nutrition, but if they're right. using it to just milk the system and using it at, for heaven's sakes, liquor stores and strip clubs, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So we're still working on those. It's a shame. The caller that criticized me, he's right in so many ways that we've created this dependent society, and we've got to figure out how to get people back to work
mm-hmm.
using their own money, paying their taxes, with the integrity to say that they're going to do what they can to raise their own families and get away from a dependent welfare state. So this is a terrible abuse that is through the Family, Children, and Seniors Committee, and I think it'll have bipartisan support.
Okay. And we've got another call coming in. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes. I have a question.
Yes.
I've got a young couple that is not married. They're both on Social Security. They're both handicapped. But they live together. They used to get food stamps, separately. And now that they're living together and eating together, their food stamps have been cut from like $300 to $20.
Wow.
Now, why can they do that?
Boy,
now they can't afford to live together.
Yeah, and they probably save money by living together, too.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They both can't get an apartment because neither one of them is able to work. They're on Social Security, so they care for each other. So they thought, we'll just live together. All of a sudden, bam, there goes all their food stamps.
Sir, on the specific like that, I'd encourage you to call my office, and my staff can look into the specifics of it. We can. I don't have an answer for you right now.
Do you have a phone number that we can call?
Absolutely. My number is 866-908-4347. That's a toll-free number.
Okay. Can you repeat that one more time?
Sure. It's 866-908-4347.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess we don't have that call on there anymore. Okay.
Another issue that we're working on that this one has been sent to the governor is, again, a fraud case of unemployment fraud. We put drug testing on unemployment benefits now. And I've had people for years say to me, if I have to take a drug test to get employed, how come people don't need to take a drug test if they're going to get unemployment benefits? That one has been gone through the House and Senate. It's on its way to the governor. It's been tried before, and hopefully we got the language right this time.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Everybody's talking about the bridge cards, but I wanted to bring something up with that. Something that just happened in the news. There's a famous performer, Al Green, whose sister went missing, and it comes up her bridge card was just used at a convenience store. Why is there no security system such as we have on our credit cards that show that a bridge card has been lost, stolen, or something where when swiped, it registers with the store to say that, hey, this is a stolen card or there's a hold on it so police can be notified? Now we have a lookout for this woman there's only a video camera shot of, you know, who used this missing person's bridge card.
That's an excellent idea. I don't know the specifics on it.
Excellent idea. This is a simple idea that should have been in place from the beginning, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we got so sophisticated with our technology of using it like a debit card that the security and the controls on it should have been put in place.
Well, so. Has this been even brought up since the since then? This issue just came up and. It sounds like it might be even new to you.
It's very new to me. I didn't know that case had happened. It must be
TV news right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I will. It.
Thank yeah,
you
we'll
so
check
much
on it.
For all you do. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Bye bye.
All right. 395-1450 is our number here, and well, we have a lot of things going on we don't know about and don't know what to do about. I think the fiasco in Washington now with the registering for Obamacare is one of the worst that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, we could have predicted, I think, some snafus in a brand new program, and they should have known that if you have one date where you say now is the time to sign up, you're going to be flooded with calls on
yes.
that date. But it was interesting watching the news last night. It was the Democratic Congresswoman from California said, you know, she compared it to a website that delivers flowers on Valentine's Day. You better be prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a good comparison.
That's right.
This should have been tested long before the deadline and foolproof. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens. I think personally we should just delay the implementation, work out the bugs, and see what happens.
Yeah, or do it alphabetically or something like
that. Yeah, that could work.
Okay, got a call here. Good morning, on the line with Joe.
Yeah, you know, Obamacare did not create people not getting health care. You know, a lot of people think, well, they're cutting back to 39 hours. That has been the status quo for I don't know how long, you know. A lot of people fall through the cracks that way. They can't get health care, and the employers have been doing that for years. It has nothing to do with Obamacare. There's a lot of waitresses falling through the cracks and retail workers, and I don't know why people sit there so comfortable with their, you know, their Blue Cross and Blue Shield when other people are not, you know, they have no options. This, to me, is another option, you know, whether you use it or not. People can lose their jobs, you know, and in between jobs, they can get this, you know, and get a voucher. There's a lot of people falling through the cracks and dying because they don't have health care. I don't know why people don't understand that.
Okay. Well, I don't think I think the caller raises a very good point, is that before we criticize too much, we better come with solutions. And I think the party who's not in control has the freedom, I guess, and I was in minority at one time, to criticize. But to criticize properly, you really do need to look at solutions. And I think you raise a fair critique there to say that we as Republicans, we as the minority party in Washington, we need to continue to look for how we would do it differently. The healthcare issue has been around. I mean, it was tried during the Clinton administration. It's been around for years. And I would hope that our national leaders on my side of the aisle really look at alternatives and say, as I said earlier, I don't believe this is sustainable. I don't think it's well thought out, and I think it's going to break the bank, as it were, like we're not there already. But we do need to look at an alternative to say, how are we going to take care of people that do not have the ability, not the desire, but the ability to take care of themselves?
There are people that are like, they can't get disability because they're not really disabled, but they actually can't work because they don't feel good.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like, that's what are they going to do? They look healthy walking around, but you wouldn't know that they're heading to the bathroom 24/7, or you know, that they're nausea, or they got problems, you know. And people just criticize without looking at the total picture. You know, they don't know the person or that type of thing, you know.
Yes.
So that kind of aggravates me, that people sit so comfortable in their, you know, in their Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or whatever they have, you know. They don't think about the other guy. They don't want their food costs to go up, so the waitresses don't get health care. But if waitresses were forced to, you know, if employer, they'd have to pay $20 per meal at the smaller restaurants, you know.
Yes.
So people need to think about what they're talking about, you know. Other people do need health care, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Well, if you're sick and you can't work, you're going to get welfare benefits. So that doesn't even hold any water. And then, I mean, if you are employed, part-time, self-employed, whatever, I mean, you should have choices, which now the Obamacare got rid of that, which they said it wouldn't. You know, I got a brother-in-law, self-employed, used to get health insurance for $300 a month, and now he can't. That it was a policy he liked, he was happy with, and now it's canceled because of Obamacare. So he has to pay $1,000 a month now if he wants new insurance. That's the best he can get. So I don't know where these people come from. That's just crazy.
Okay, thank you.
But it's interesting, Juke, that we've had two calls. The first caller that early on that really chewed me out and for my views, and then this the woman who just called, and really opposite opinions about the needs of people and how to take care of them. And if we can just figure out how to get those two people in a room collectively through your congressman and look for something in the middle.
Yeah.
It takes care of people but holds people responsible without ballooning a bureaucracy and ballooning the debt in this country. I agree that there are people that can't work and that we need to fix the unemployment or the health care situation. But the system that, and I didn't know we were going to talk about Obamacare today.
I didn't either.
But certainly this system that has been set up, I think is destined for failure.
Okay. So. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Hi. I just have to say that I thought the call from the woman who said that this has been going on for years was just right on, because it has, and there are a lot of employers who don't want to employ full-time, and that this isn't something new. They're just using this as an excuse. And I have known many people who've been between jobs. They've lost or even been fired for what I would consider not a just reason, and they're stuck, and they have not paid any $300 for self-employed insurance either. They've paid $1,000 for like a $5,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
I know two people who had to pay that $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And there are also a lot of people who you know, their plants closed down, whatever, you know, and
right.
they're stuck. So just to say that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes, good morning. I was listening just a little bit, and I am going to work right now, but this is a very interesting topic. Well, to be honest with you, I think it's just wonderful if people who are in need that get some help. But I also think, okay, you got these older people, and I'm old. I'm a senior citizen, okay? I'm 67 years old. I'm still working. I can't get free insurance. What do you do if someone for 40 years drinks, drunk? Okay, sure, now she ruined her body, okay? Why should she get free everything when I have to work and I have to pay for my prescriptions, I have to pay to go into the emergency room? Why is that fair? And I am a born-again Christian, and I'm really having a struggle with this. If you could answer that, I'd really appreciate it.
All right.
God bless. Good day.
Thank you.
Well, I can't answer it, but I like people that say they struggle with this, because I struggle with these things too. And I do not believe there's black and white answers to this. I think we have, as Christians, as you say, a responsibility to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. But I'm concerned, too, about people that abuse the system. And the one thing that I was proud about this Healthy Michigan plan is that we put in reforms to try and begin to hold people accountable. Now, I can't do anything about the person who drank for 40 years and they're in their 60s now, but I can do something to encourage the person in their 20s who's going to be working, I hope, for in the next 40 years, that they change their lifestyle and they don't become a bigger burden on the taxpayer. So thank you very much for that call.
Okay, and let's take a quick look at the weather here. Your favorite tastes in one place with a new fall feature, the Harvest Salad, the citydelicatessen.com. And for today, rain, snow showers, high 47, showers tonight and windy with low of 43, and tomorrow a few showers possible, windy with a high of 48, and right now we're at 35 degrees. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah, and one thing, other, I think that churches and other organizations that are in the area have a responsibility to help people that really can't get on their feet. Sometimes the churches kind of neglect doing that nowadays, but they used to do it all the time. I just wondered what he thought of that.
Okay.
Well, sir, I'd turn that right around and say, who is the church? The church is you and I. The church is not the people down the street in the big building with the cross at the top. The church is you and I, and I hope that means that you are out there helping your neighbors that don't have the ability. And I know I'm guilty of it myself that I don't do enough. But before we just pass it off and say it's somebody else's responsibility like the church, I just encourage you to start with yourself and start finding your neighbor or somebody that you know has a need. And if we do that one by one, we will put government out of business. That should be our goal, is to make all these programs go away because the private sector, the individual, and the churches did it themselves. So good for you. I hope you start today.
I remember in the church we used to have a box up on the side for the poor.
Sure.
And had a slot in the top. You could put money in it. That was our welfare system.
But I mean, we can do that without that box in the church.
Yes,
we
can
do that ourselves.
Sure, sure, sure enough. Well, Joe, hey, I thank you very much for all the discussion this morning.
It was a good one.
Yeah, and we hope to see you again next month.
Thank you, Juke.